So managing updates. Welcome back from lunch. I hope everyone had an enjoyable lunch. So far, we have covered why identity is important. Am I okay? Am I good? Yeah. Why identity is important, how to do a basic install, how to do a managed install, you know, creating group policies, doing all those gee whiz things. So now we've got Office installed. We know how to get Office installed. Now what's next, right? So it's time to update Office. So updating Office is a little different because updates are now a part of the Office architecture as opposed to being spun off into the Windows update process and things of that nature. So it is different than what you're accustomed to with Office. Now the other version of Office that you're accustomed to, so Office 2013 Professional, that still uses Windows Update. That still uses the same update methodology that you've always known. But in Office 365 Pro Plus, because we RTM every month, we get a new version every month, right? We do our updates just out of the RTM versions by doing Delta updates. So that's why when I was mentioning earlier, I think you already know what the schedule is, why I mentioned earlier when I was talking about, you know, doing the updates and getting those updates. So there's an awesome diagram at the back of the projector. So in Office 365 Pro Plus, the updates are monthly, but so is the full build, right? Because it's the same thing. The difference between the RTM build and the update build is nothing because it's the same thing. They are a cumulative build. So whatever is in the December build that will come out next week will have everything that was in the November build, will have everything that was in the October build, will have everything that was in the September build. They're cumulative. So I do not have to daisy chain updates. So if I haven't updated my machine in 6 months, I don't have to daisy chain updates. I just go to the latest update, say update, and it'll update the difference. Updates are also different because we only do the deltas between what the build is now and the build you have already installed on the machine. Because that's how we're doing the updates, earlier I briefly mentioned that you may want to rethink how we do our distribution of our updates, because in the past, you would pull down the updates, you'd put them on your distribution servers, and let's say you have 100 of them or 1,000 of them, these distribution servers would be daisy-chained all over your organization, and all you were ever moving around was the updates. Well, that's not how we do updates in Office 365. Office 365, we do updates based on the client updates from the full build. So it may not be advantageous to take your full build, so that 1 gig file, right? Well, two files, about a gig, and distributing that 100 times. It may be better to have more regionalized distribution points to where the clients just go to those regional distribution points and get the updates. Okay, question?
Yeah, I missed whatever the previous session was.
Mm-hmm.
So, just so I'm clear, we've got Office 365, but we haven't deployed the
Office Pro Plus?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Also setting up our SCCM infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm trying to figure out is what's the best way to approach both of those tasks in terms of this whole update process.
You would have really benefited from deployment part one and deployment part two, which have already passed. Because we covered all of that.
Okay.
And did labs. Yeah, the recordings probably, I don't, yeah, I think y'all have access to the recordings because all the attendees will have the recordings. But what's the best method of doing it? Depends on your environment. It's always an it depends, right? Depends on your environment. What controls are you using? How are you doing your installs? It can be simple as a simple install where the user just goes to it, clicks in and installs, to the most complex hierarchical system you can dream up, as long as it can call setup.exe. Get the config file and get access to the source, it'll install. So it's everything in between. So now, once we've decided on how to do those installs, right? Now we're going to start talking about how to do the updates. Because doing the install is actually easier than the update process, right? Because the install people kind of think, well, I may build it in my Windows image, those things. We talk about all of those. Now I've got the bits on the machine. How do I get my updates?
Mm-hmm. And I shove everybody who doesn't get the image, whatever the current version is. Now everyone's got it, and now we're at this point.
Right. So now everyone's got it on their machine. Now we need to do updates. And we're going to talk about what are your options for updates, and there, you actually have three. There's three different options you can do about updating. I keep emphasizing we do monthly builds, background check. So it does just the deltas in the background. You have the ability to control how you do updates. You can do from never do updates to control doing updates. Our lab today, we're going to control updates through a group policy. So we'll do the controlled updates. We can also do controlled updates through System Center. And we can do controlled updates through a command line. So there's a command line tool that I'm going to introduce you to that allows you to get super granular on your updates. So some organizations that are super large, right, they don't want everyone doing their updates now, right? Or they don't even want everyone doing updates on Patch Tuesday, right? They need to 20%, 20%, 20%, 20%. Well, this command tool with System Center or another tool like that gives you the ability to actually distribute out how your updates will occur. We just say just let the updates occur, right? That's most people's concern about Office updates was the Office update's going to break whatever tool I have. And I'm going to talk about that here in a little bit. Our object model between Office 2010 and Office 2013 barely changed. So that's different. In the past, the object model changed sometimes drastically, right? So when you went from 7 to 10, there's a lot of add-ins that may or may not have worked, right? If you went from 3 to 7, or God forbid you went from 3 to 10, right? The difference between the object model in 3 and in 10 was vast. So your add-ins, your plugins, your macros, things of that nature, they may or may not have worked. We flattened that out. So the object model consists of 20,000 different object components that you can use for building add-ins for Office, right? And our partners make some awesome add-ins, right? They solve all the problems we don't solve with Office. Those add-ins have become mission critical to our businesses, and our businesses are dependent on those add-ins. Knowing that, we have flattened out our object model. We only had 9 changes. So in a 20,000 item object model, we only changed 9 items between 10 and 13. So if you're already running 10, odds are, right, with a high level of confidence that your add-ins will work. Not guaranteed, right? Nothing's ever guaranteed. Someone could have used some obscure API that was one of the 9 that we've deprecated, but that could have happened. But we haven't been finding in the 2010 realm that that's the case. Now, if you're still 7 or 3, yeah, there's a good chance you're going to have those. And then the next session, which is about the telemetry dashboard, is about figuring out what those are and then how to address them. But here in the update world, so we're going through and we're doing these updates. So once we believe our 2013 install, so Office 365 Pro Plus, is installed and working correctly, we can just let the updates flow. Now, some believe updates should be highly regulated. Okay. Some believe updates should be just let them happen. Okay. Either way will work. So the update options we have is, there's a task scheduler. When you install Office, it actually creates a task scheduler that says go out and check every day for updates, right? And it checks on the 15, the 45, and the hour and 15-minute interval. And it also checks every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday at 3 a.m. with some time offset things to go look for updates. So that task scheduler runs on your machine, on your Windows box, and that tells it to go look for an update. So that task scheduler is what controls when I go look for updates. So if I have updates enabled, but I want to stop updates, I could set that task scheduler or remove that task schedule, and it wouldn't check for updates. It just wouldn't do it until the next time you chose to do an update for that device, and then it would reset that task schedule. So it's not something that you would remove once and then you'd be good forever, because it's a part of our architecture, and we're always going to put that task scheduler back. So every time you do an update, you do a build, if you're tweaking these things, or if you're getting creative, that some people like to do, right, understand we're going to put it back. You can also just do manual updates. So the users can go in, they can open up their apps, they can say update. The user context at which the update occurs, it's a system. It is not an authenticated user context. So you don't have to be an administrator to run update. You have to be an administrator to install the application. And that's why you either had to have administrator permissions on the box or have a distribution tool that could go in, right, and do elevated permissions to install the apps on. But once they're installed on the box, updates happen through the system context. So the system will just go out and say, I need to do updates. And it'll go, okay, and it'll do the updates. The demo for this session is the best demo ever. So I'm just going to go ahead and set the expectation high. The command line, so this is the tool most people don't know even exists. So if you've installed Office, this tool was installed on your machine after Service Pack 1. So build, whatever was the September build. September build is our SP1 build. You don't have to write it all down. It's in the path. Once you go look for it, you'll find it. But that Office C2R client.exe allows you to get super granular on how you're doing your management, right? Some want to manage it by just putting the content in a particular folder, and once it's there, because my path told me that's where it was from install, then that's where I go to check. So as long as the source isn't there, updates never occur, because it goes looks for an update, and there's no update, okay, and it doesn't update. It'll update once the source is there that you provide for the users to update. In smaller environments, that works great, right? For super large environments, that's not going to work, just because of the network load and concerns. Question?
Mm-hmm.
Does not. To do the user-initiated update, yeah, that's incorrect. When it's just doing update, it will just do the update. So I'll have to fix that, because that is not correct. The install absolutely does. When you're doing the install, you have to have admin rights, or you have to have a tool that can do elevated permissions to do that. But the user update, they can just go update, and it'll update. But you can actually block that also through group policy and some other stuff.
Mm-hmm. I know in the past, when there's things like reinstalling Office or doing certain things, it always wants to point to the source installer files. Or
mm-hmm.
Does this have that same kind of dependency, or is it irrelevant to do something like this?
So if you defined a source path in your setup file, then it will go to that source path and look for updates. If you did not define a source path in your setup file, then it'll just go look on the internet. So it'll come to us and ask. And it'll say, okay, let's do updates. And then it'll get the updates appropriately. That can also be controlled through group policy. So group policy may be a choice. And this is what this exercise will be about, is we'll actually talk through some of those scenarios. One of the gotchas for this is when you go learn about and we don't have an example for this, but when you go learn about the Office C2R client, the Office C2R client does not have a path source. It's not one of the switches for the executable. So if you haven't defined a path on where to go get the updates from, it's going to come to us and get updates. So the important, you know, safety tip here is if I'm going to go this route because I want to be very strategic about how I block out my groups of people who are going to do the implementation, because we're so large and the network just can't handle doing, you know, smaller batches. We're just going to chunk them out because that's the way we've always done it. Then this methodology, you're going to want to make sure that you set your updates to false, but you give it an update path. Because if you don't provide an update path, it comes to us. And you can't provide one after the fact. Right? You can by rerunning setup.
Okay.
Right? And doing that. So the harm of rerunning setup after you've run setup is harmless. It's just like doing an update. It will only do the deltas of what is there or not there.
So I think what you're really saying is from a planning perspective.
Mm-hmm. And the reason that we're having this conversation really is so you can choose what you feel are the best paths for you going forward.
What does Microsoft do internally?
Well, we do pretty much all of the above. So we have a managed environment, and we allow people, because everyone at Microsoft's an administrator on their box, they have freedom to kind of do what they want. So we do have managed deployment, and we also have free-form deployment. So we're always a yes. Right? We're not always the best example of how to do end-user administration, because we give a lot of freedom to our users. But the downside of that is if the help desk can't solve your problem in 20 minutes, they wipe and load your box. So it's... you know, they don't have a lot of sympathy for you either. It's bam, there you go. Shouldn't have done it in the first place. So configuring updates. So we did the update earlier, right? So we talked about when we created our config XML file, right? We defined whether updates are true or false. If it's true, it goes out and it does the updates based on whatever you've defined. If it's set to false, it doesn't do updates. So some organizations, they set it to false, and they just never do updates, right? Or when they do updates, they just do a reinstall, or they do the command line switch, but, you know, they don't particularly want to do updates. Question? Mm-hmm. To that path. So for the, you know, so if you're like a governmental entity or, you know, a large, you know, company here locally that does those kind of things, then that will be an option you'll probably choose. So you have lots of choices and options. The group policy version allows you to roll back. So you can actually go back a version. The command line version allows you to roll back, so you can go back a version. So let's say I roll out an update, and it has a critical problem with my whatever app. So it causes my line of business app to just fail. Bang, right? Because typically what we normally do is we phase in our testing, right? So we download the latest updates, we test it. In corporate IT, right? We download them, we test them. Oh, this caused this line of business app to fail, right? And we roll that back. Now, based on my comment earlier, right, where we haven't really changed the object model, right, and our APIs haven't really modified, that shouldn't be the case, right? But anything can happen, it's in software. But if you had an update that caused an issue, right, made your environment unstable, right? Caused your apps to crash. You can actually have a rollback methodology. So leveraging the click C to R client.exe or leveraging a group policy, you can roll those back. Or you could just do uninstall, reinstall, but that's not very exciting. So you can define when automatic updates occur, you know, what version do you update to. So if I specify a version, that's pretty much how I'm rolling back. So any version I provide in my group policy, that's the version that it's going to use as the update. So if I've installed a version and I rolled it out to the whole company and it's causing everyone, you know, major heartburn, I'd set this group policy, I define whatever the last known good build was, I rerun the policy, it goes out and it puts everyone back to the version they were at. You're jumping ahead of me. Yes. Great question, though. Yes.
So with that assumption, if you could revert back to a previous version, on your client, are you storing off, you say you're doing deltas, but then are you storing off those previous versions somewhere then?
Nope.
How do you roll back?
Still got to have the source file. Still got to be in the source path.
So all your previous builds would need to be in that source path?
Yeah, you just leave them there. That's the way we designed them, right? Just leave them there. You pull in the next one, just leave the, you know, because each time we create a new folder, the new folder has the build number. So the build number is the, you know, 15.0.4649.1005. That's the latest build, right? The build that comes out next week will be a different build number. So if you, you know, pull down the older builds and just have them sitting there. So when we talked about earlier, we talked about maybe scheduling a task that goes out and just pulls down the monthly build and just puts it somewhere that we can deal with it. You know, that every month when that build, that task runs, you're going to get that new build number. That's the instance that you're going to work with and test with. Yes. Yeah, All the old builds up to 12 months are still available. We only maintain builds up to 12 months because we only support builds up to 12 months. So if you have a build that's older than 12 months, it'll work, right? But we'll want you to update to a supported build if you call in for tech support. So if you're having a tech support issue, you need help, you kind of need to be in the build. We talked about that earlier when we were talking about the difference between, you know, even in the old-fashioned version of Office, that same rule applied. Right? We supported Office for 12 months on the latest build. So Service Pack 1, Service Pack 2, those type things. If you were older than that, right, Office still worked, right? We still loved you. We'd give you a big hug. We would just ask you to put on the latest Service Pack to, you know, so we can give you support. Because sometimes a lot of the issues you may be dealing with are already defined in the service pack. So what does the support process look like? So if schedule a task runs, is there a new build? No? Okay, I do nothing. I've got no build. Now if there is a new build, but it's not in my path, I do nothing, because I don't know there's a new build. My source path tells me where to go look. Okay? If I don't define a source path, and I allow it to be open, then I go look on the internet. But if I do define a source path, then that's where I go look. And as long as I don't have a folder with a structure, right, and then the appropriate cab file in that location, then no update occurs. If it finds an update, it downloads the deltas. And then it gets ready to apply the deltas. Then it goes, is Office running? If the answer is no, all right, let's install Office. Let's do the updates. So, next one is Office running? Yeah, Office is running. So we're one of those organizations where, you know, like all of us, we never shut down our machines. We just leave them running in the office. And 3 days, after 3 days, you're going to get the little toast that pops up on the little Office icon symbol. And it's going to say, hey, you have updates ready to be installed. And we're going to do that little nag for 3 days. After 6 days, we're going to actually put across the top of the menu bar, hey, you got Office updates. You really need to do them, right? So we're really going to start nagging the user to click the little button and do the updates. Now, some organizations, right, this is where they may choose to go, all right, I want to force them down. I want to force this update on them. Office C2R client.exe can force shutdown of apps. System Center can force shutdown of apps. Right? Distribution software can force shutdown of apps. So you have the ability to do those things, to establish those. Typically, we try to be a little not heavy-handed around that, more soft-handed to do those type of notifications.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So remember, did I find a build? Yes. Downloaded it. So that was always step one.
Yep.
So I downloaded the build. Now I haven't applied them. I just have downloaded them. So they are, the deltas are resident local on the box, ready to go. So is Office running? Yes. Then I'm waiting, right? We're not going to force down the apps, right? But we are, after 3 days, going to put a little friendly toast at the bottom of the screen. Hey, you got some updates. You know, you may want to go ahead and do your updates, right? And now if they click updates, it'll just give them the next pop-up that says, please shut down your apps, right? And it'll do the updates. After 6 days, we're going to put a line across the menu bar. We're going to, you know, kind of be a little bit more in your face going, hey, we got updates, right? Click here. I don't know. That's a great question. See me afterwards. I'll give you my email address, and I'll look that up.
Okay.
My knee-jerk reaction is probably going to be no, right? Because more and more, we're not giving the ability to create your own custom dialog boxes for our menus. But I don't know. The old days, it was true, right? You went into the registry. You put whatever you wanted. You can have the verbiage be whatever, right? Correct. Right. So once we find the build and we've downloaded the bits, we're nagging them. Now, normally what happens is they shut down their machine and they reboot. Once they reboot, build automatically happens. So if you reboot Office, you know, if your normal behavior is to have the machine shut down at night and then they come in the morning, then they're not going to get the nags because Office has already been applied. Uh-huh.
Is this type of process, is it just a technological limitation that you're always going to have to close something down and update it? There's no kind of genius person that can figure out a way to...
If we could have, we would have. yeah, I don't know the true limiters on why we say they have to be shut down and do those things. I imagine we could find out from someone... But it has been our goal for a very long time to have updates occur that don't require you to do, you know, shut down the apps or do rebuilds, right? Or do reboots. The reboot part, we've gotten pretty good, right? We're pretty close. We still have ones that we still have to do reboots, right? But it's not that way for everything. So this is what that little nag screen looks like, right? Office updates are available, right? If the user clicks that and says okay, right, then they're going to get the updates.
You call that toast?
Yeah, we call these little pop-ups toasts, right? Or when they come in the corner, those fly-ins, right? When they pop up, they're toast, fly-ins, and then business banner. We'll make up some other dorky name, and that's what we'll use. So if I get into an environment where, you know, there's no new build, right? There's nothing to do. I have nothing to do. If there is a new build, I got it, right? Is Office running? No, I do the update, right? If Office is running, then I walk through the process of nagging them, please do this, do it. In this process, you can also interject the click to our client.exe command to force it down, or you could interject a group policy to force things. But we try to recommend don't, because you never know what app's running in the background, those type of things. Now, Office is really good about maintaining the integrity of the apps, but we can't maintain the integrity of the plugins. So if the plugin has got some cached information that's in memory and something happens and we force it down and we bring it back up, right? Typically 99.99999% of the time, the Office app is just fine, or the Office app content is just fine, but whatever was in that add-in may be gone, right? Because we don't know how they're managing that. Make sense? Okay. All right. Well, remember, you've taken an action. It says apply now, right? You've done the, okay, I'm ready to apply updates. Yes. Well, they keep ignoring it. We're just going to keep nagging them.
Okay.
We'll just nag them.
The
right. Okay. Yeah, we'll just keep nagging them. Nag. So the scheduled task is only to check for an update.
Okay.
So once the checks for an update and it finds an update, the first thing we do is download the Delta.
Yep.
So now the content is on the local device. At this stage, we start nagging you, you need to update. If you reboot, it updates automatically. Right? So if you shut down and restart, like you do, most people do every day, right? When they, the next day, it's there, right? Because once we find an update available, we've already gone through the, we validated the update, we believe in the update, we believe this update is good and true, we're ready to deploy the update. This is where this phase comes in. Right, download, and then keep going.
So the user still has to initiate the actual update in order for it to apply to Office.
If they haven't shut down Office in 3 days, we're going to give them the little toast. If they haven't shut down Office in 6 days, we're going to give them a nag bar.
I got that. But what happens if the Office isn't loaded, period?
Then you'll have to do an Office install to get Office on the machine.
If they haven't opened Office yet.
Then it was automatically updated
okay. In
the background.
That's my question.
Right. Yeah. So, again, if Office processes are not running, Office update occurs.
Okay.
Make sense? You got a question? You can suppress the notifications through group policy and through system center kind of things, but not with the just the standard update. So, because all we're doing is saying we have updates to apply. The updates have already been put on the machine. They're just sitting there waiting to apply, and they won't apply as long as Office is running. And that means all of the Office components, right? So it's, you know, it's your Groove client, it's your, you know, Outlook, it's InfoPath, it's OneNote, it's all that stuff. So if one of those is sitting in the background working all the time, Office is always open.
Including Link.
Right. App exclude.
No, we need that one. Is there a way to have the click to run client pull an update after, say, 14 days of nagging?
Yes, but not through the standard feature. That would be done through a group policy or a system center job.
Okay.
Right. That's where you can do those. See, those have the capability of saying, let's do this. All right, for the standard update, it goes this path, it finds the update, it gets the update, it puts it on the machine. No, that's, you know, we're just going to be respectful of that user. Again, this is the amazing demo. So, yeah, I'll double check, because when I looked the other day, but I haven't looked at Yammer in 2 days now, When I looked the other day, all six slide decks were up there. So, but if they're not there now, or we'll get them there. I'll make sure that they get there. Desktop. Word. So what do? I go into Word, account, update. Isn't that awesome? That's the best demo all day. Okay. So to do manual updates, it's literally in the back, what do they call that, the back office component. And the Windows update option is there. You can update now, disable updates, view updates. So that view updates, it's going to take us out to TechNet. The question we had earlier, where are all the old updates? There's every version of the old updates. They're all listed by number. So if you have a particular version you want to go to, there's the numbers. So, you know, as we list, you know, as we toggled through those numbers, it'll give you what that monthly update was. If you go look at the TechNet article about that update, it lists everything that was updated in that update. Yes, sir?
On the update where it's pulling the diffs, do you guys have any data on what that average payload is?
We do not, but a colleague of mine has done a number. He's been tracking them on the monthly updates, and the typical update was about 100 megabytes, but we've also modified how we're doing the differentials, so now we're doing the differentials on the executable also, as opposed to doing the full executable. So instead of doing Excel, the 30 meg version of Excel, when we're now just doing the diff on Excel also, so that has reduced it substantially. So we're seeing updates in the 30 megabyte size on a monthly update. But that also depends how far back you are, what the things are. So you can kind of track and trend those over time. But we are doing diffs on diffs down to the file level. However, we will not do that past 1 month. So we will only do month over month diff at the file level. Anything beyond that, then it's diff at the block level, and we would pull all of Excel. So using Excel as the example, right? Because then we'd have to get into daisy chaining. All builds are cumulative, so any build that we have, right, always has the next month or the previous month's information and all previous month's information in that build. Right, so we never have to do daisy chaining. But because that methodology, that's why we can do. But that's only month over month. So if you're doing a control, we only do it every 3 months, or we only do every 6 months kind of update process, then you'll always kind of be in that 100 whatever meg realm. And it may be larger, right? Maybe smaller, but that's kind of what the ballpark has been. Mm-hmm. It is a DAT file that is very similar to a WIM file. So it's somewhat compressed. About the, you know, no, not really. It has compression, but it's not. There's not much there. Because that's, I mean, if you look at Office, that's the size of Office. Okay. Right. And that one may be an interesting conversation on the way we do the updates versus the way updates would normally through MSI were done. So there may or may not be an advantage or disadvantage to that just because of the new methodology. So any questions on updates so far? Anything that's kind of jumped out at you? You have a big concern with so far? Nothing yet? See if this picks back up like it's supposed to. Nope. All right. So escape. So the object model, I've kind of tried to really emphasize the object model, object model, object model, object model, object model, because the object model is what has caused us in the past to be slow to update, right? Because that's what's caused our add-ins to not work. That's what's caused our macros to fail, right? Those were the things, because the object model changed over time. So we have been very diligent about not changing the model. Again, there's a TechNet article, right? A blog posting, there's the link to it that talks about the object model. I'll take you to an MSDN article. And that MSDN article will list the changes, and it's 9. So out of 20,000 object components that could have modified, it was 9. So, and we're trying to stay at that level. And the reason we're trying to stay at that level is because we want you to update, right? There's a reason we're doing these updates, these fixes, right? They're not always security related. A lot of times, you know, they're performance related, right? Or they're stability related, and we need to use the latest and greatest. Support for 12 months, that model hasn't changed. It's just kind of exposed to people now. When you talk it through, they're kind of like, oh, okay, I get it. Yeah, I understand now. And then the next session, which will be right after this one, we'll do the telemetry. So we'll actually use the telemetry dashboard to start getting information, because one of the biggest problems we have in doing an Office update, we don't know what we have. You know, what versions of Office are you running? You know, what hot or add-ins are you running? You know, what plugins are you running? What documents are being used in the in your environment? Because what you can do is you can go ahead and filter that out, sort it, figure out what your top items are, and address those, right? Because that's what we have to address first. So the telemetry dashboard, which we have a whole next session about, is giving you that information. So it's not a troubleshooting tool, right? You're not going to use it to go out and figure out why Excel crashed on this file. But it'll tell you Excel crashed on this file, and then you go to that machine and do some, you know, deeper discovery, figure out why. Oh, okay, yeah. So that's a great question. I completely, you know, breezed past that, didn't even mention it. So our future direction is using the Office app model. So the Office app model is very similar to the example like you talk about, right, where it's the Windows Store. We have an Office Store, right, where all the Office apps, it's very similar to the way it works in Azure. It's very similar to the way it works on iPhone and, you know, an Android phone, where the apps actually sit on top of and do API calls into the application as opposed to being bolted into the application. That's the model that we're embracing, and we're encouraging everyone to go to that because that's the model that we can control and that we can ensure stays stable all the time. So we work with our partners, right? And a lot of you, anyone here got SAP in their environment, right? You probably have the SAP add-ins, right? That's a big one. We work closely with SAP to make sure that those add-ins work with the Office. So that's both the old version, the object model, and the new version, which is the Office apps. So if you have a super, super old version of SAP that only supports Office 2007, right, odds are you're going to have some issues. Just calling it out now, right? And I've ran into those, right, because the cost of upgrading their SAP environment was, right, it's SAP. So then you get into critical choices. But we're also at the end of life in 2007, so you have to make a choice. That's the way we're going, right? And we're doing that. That's not something that's unique to Office. We're actually doing that with everything. You've noticed that with Office 365, the other apps in Office 365, that's what we've done with SharePoint, right? SharePoint uses the Office app model, all of that. And then Windows has done it. Windows Phone, right? Android, iPhone, they're all using that same model. You guys write a lot of line of business apps that you're putting on top of Office? Because as I say, I know some dev guys that love to come talk to you. So is everyone's network working? Everyone connected? Yeah. So how do I manage, test, and my updates, right? How do I test these things? So we've talked about you could put a source path, and as long as the source is in the source path, I can go test these out, right? How do I automate this? You know, how do I back out of this? Right? What do I do if I've put something on and I've got to back it out, right? We've talked about that, right? So that's the Office C:R client.exe, right? Or you can do that through a group policy. How can I determine if things are working, right? That could be done through your System Center environment, or you can be doing that through your telemetry dashboard. So we'll talk about the telemetry and parts. And in the exercise, we're actually going to begin the telemetry dashboard piece. So for the next conversation, we'll have an understanding of what the telemetry dashboard brings to your environment. So to do a standard managed update, right, I have my validation group. My validation group goes through, it does its checks, it installs it. Maybe you have a group of 10, 20, 50 users. They've done their, yep, you know, it works, no issues, we're great, right? Then you can go forward. You can do that through group policy, you can do it through System Center, you can do it by putting it in the path, however you want. Then it goes through and it just does its, you know, bulk group. Everyone out? Yep, we're good, right? We put it in the source. I've checked every, you know, upon boot up, I did my 15, 45, and hour and 15 minute check. And then I did my, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday check at 3 a.m. Right? And I did those. So that's when Office is checking. And that's based on that scheduled task. So how do I, you know, I define a, you know, group? Again, it's just a small group of individuals who are going to go through. They're going to test this. You can do this through group policy. So I can create a group policy that has the update. I assign the group policy to a select group of people, right? Whether that's based on an OU or whether it's based on a security group filtering, however you're doing your management through group policy, you can define that. Once I have that, then that group goes through and it does its little testing of the updates. Once it's good, then I can take that GPO and I can assign it to everyone else, right? I can create another one, but or I can just, you know, take that same GPO and assign it to everyone else. Remove that filtering, put it at the domain level or however you want to filter it out, right? And then let it roll for everyone else. That's also the same methodology I can use to start staggering and controlling how people are getting their updates and when they get their updates. So this is what it looks like, right, the standard GPO. You're going to drill down in this. We'll do this in the lab exercise, right? We'll drill down, get into the Microsoft Office machine updates, and we'll do see the update path. We'll define what the path is. We'll tell it where to go get the source information, and then go execute it, right? So once it finds it, then it goes ahead and it starts the process. If it never finds it, there's no update. It has nothing to do.
What's your suggestion on, if you go back to the slide, you're pointing it to the source path. Mm-hmm.
So in large organizations, you're probably, because remember, this is just a UNC to Windows. All this Office is doing is calling out to Windows and saying, where is this? So if you're using branch cache, it'll use branch cache. If you're using a DFS and you have a common DFS namespace, it'll use that, right? It's whatever methodology you're presenting that share to that Windows machine is what Office will consume. So if you have, you know, logic built in through DFS or other technologies, REPLMON type things that distribute this, we'll leverage that, right? Even if you have your own CDN type environment. So. But that's interesting because you're using your CDN from our CDN to get the information. You could define the update path. So this is where, through the group policy, right, you can go through and say, I want to use this other update path. So use this path during update. I know I said in setup, do this path, but in group policy, I'm going to say use this other path. So group policy can change the path of where update is. What's the gotcha in the path for updates with the exe file? You can't define it. So if it's not defined in the config file, it's going to the cloud. So in your config file, if your object is to go client to client C to R or office C to R client.exe update methodology, that's what you're going to leverage. Understand that the path is not a definable attribute in that executable and that you need to put that in your install config file where its update is false, path is the path. Have I emphasized that enough? Because there's no path there. We get feedback on that all the time. You might think we'd fix that. We will. So I can schedule a task, go pull my downloads. Again, this is just a task scheduler on them. Go out, get your downloads, pull it down, and stick it somewhere. So this is my download config file, not my install config file. Run my little program, that's just a task scheduler that we're doing the download and seeing that it's running. We schedule the task to happen the second Friday of each month. Reason we said second Friday is because second Tuesday of each month is Patch Tuesday. We RTM office every Patch Tuesday. Configure your update source. So if you're doing it through group policy or you're doing it through System Center, then you can configure your source. And just have it go out. You can define opt-in, opt-out through policies. So this is where you can get, you can have control and configuration. So our method is just go out and do it, right? Or just go to a source. But for a lot of organizations, they want a higher level of control, understandable, right? And they have business rules that say this is why we need to these things to happen, and we need to schedule them out, you know, not monthly, but maybe it's quarterly, right? We understand, and these are the methodologies for accomplishing all of those. How do I back out? Well, my back out plan is click to run, right? So I can do the office click to C to R client and do a back out, right? So I can just say, do this setup of this other version, and it, when we say back out, it's really roll back, it's really just install the other old version, right? And then how do I force a shutdown in Office? There's only one app, you know, we can force the Office can force Office to be shut down, right? So it's kind of heavy-handed, but if you have users who, you know, leave their machines on at night and Office was left on at night and it's 3 a.m. and you're forcing the Office down so you can do the patch management, which I imagine most of us already have in our software distribution and patch management methodologies, then this leverages that and it bundles right in with you. So you're not having to reinvent how you do things, right? It's just leveraging the way you do things now, mildly different. Does that make sense? So, and then here's kind of the command line switch. And if you actually go out, while we're sitting here doing the labs, I'll pull out the TechNet article that talks about what the options are for this. There's a blog posting that talks about the four little options that you can establish to do this command line driven update. Any questions, concerns? It's already running under the system context, right? Because it's just sitting there, assuming that it's not open and running, right? But you're going to do that from a tool, so you can use any elevated permission to stand it up if you need to, depending on how you want to define that. If you're doing a setup issue, right, then you're obviously going to have to use an elevator permission. If you're just forcing an update, then you don't. Depends on what task you're executing as to which level of elevated permission I need or don't need. This installs, that click to run EXE installs as soon as you install Office. That's a part of the standard Office install. So once it's installed, it's on the machine. So then you can call it. And that happened in the September build of Office Pro Plus, Office 365 Pro Plus. So with setup.exe, you can always do whatever you want.
Well, but it being the setup.exe being included in there, you said in September it was included.
So the Office C2R client.exe, which is that little command line tool that you can use for updating and rolling back and forcing down Office apps and those type of things for the highly managed environments, that tool didn't come into play until the September build. So if you're pre-SP1, because the September build was SP1, if you're pre-SP1 in your Office deployment, then you can't use that, right? You need to update. If you don't have it at all, then you need to install first. Right. So this is the updates past the install. Yes, sir. So the user settings are in the registry, like they have been, right? When you're doing a side-by-side install, then it will pick up what the preferences are, but you and I have already had this conversation. Not everything is in the GPO where you set all the user settings that you are accustomed to with the OCT. So all those settings are already set in the Office registry values that they're maintained there. If you do a full uninstall, it'll take those away, right? So if you need to maintain those integrities, so some of the settings, so we have roaming profiles and we have roaming settings. So the roaming profiles, which is enabled by default, will upload the profile information to the cloud. For some, that's a big problem because they want absolutely nothing to touch the cloud. So you can turn that off through group policy. The roaming user settings is the same thing. That's the little experience that you have when you open Office on your iPad and it says, hey, do you want to go back to page 27? Right? And it takes you back where you were. Those are the roamer user settings. Again, those are also just uploaded to the cloud. You can turn those off through group policy saying, I do not want that. I don't know the answer to that specific question, so get with me after this with the lab, and we can go find the answer to that, because I don't know specifically that if your roaming profile settings that are in Office 365, if they're the corrupted problem, that you want those destroyed. I don't know what that methodology is. I imagine there's something. It may be as simple as turning off that setting for the user. It wipes itself, then turning that setting back on. The Office telemetry is the Office telemetry dashboard gives us the ability to get some insight on what your environment looks like. So right now, most of us have Office in our environment, but we don't know what it looks like. We really don't, right? We're trying to get there, but we're not sure what it is. So the Office telemetry dashboard gives us that insight. So the telemetry dashboard and the whole next session's about that is a built-in component of Office 2013, Office 365 Pro Plus. It's an add-on component for Office 2003, 2007, 2010. In the next session, we'll kind of talk that in great detail. But it gives us some insight on what versions of Office you have deployed in your environment, whether it's 32-bit, 64-bit, what apps are being used regularly. You can have certain settings that you can adjust in your telemetry dashboard, because you can do certain obfuscation. So you may want to say, yeah, it's in the slide deck. So you can, you know, the big problem is you may not want all the document names to come across, because one of the documents may be, like our example was, is, you know, minecraftacquisition.doc. Well, the person who's doing the office stuff doesn't really need to know that we're buying a company that makes Minecraft. But the office app would have told them, because we didn't obfuscate that information. So that's a setting we can set. Another thing is we may want to say we only want to see docs that are used by more than 5 people, right? Because do you really want to see everyone's resume? Because everyone has their resume on their own individual machine. And, oh, by the way, I see, you know, Mike has updated his resume 5 times in the last week. Yeah. Right? That's a setting you can set to allow or disallow. So there's a certain level of anonymity that you can build into the environment to help hide that information. Right? And you can also not allow certain machines to get it. So you may have your executive officers that you intentionally bypass their machines so their information isn't being pulled into the report. Right? Because they're always high touch anyways. And you're always going to pretty much do their stuff manually. The telemetry dashboard gives us those capabilities to look at that information. And the reason that information is important, because the telemetry dashboard is in the process of ready, set, go. It is the set. So ready was, let's do some testing. Yeah, we think we like it. Right? Now we're ready. We're set to do an Office 365 Pro Plus deployment. What do I do? Right? What's my environment? Because you still have to do app compatibility. That hasn't gone away. Right, you still have to validate this works in your environment. That hasn't gone away. But in the past, that was always just kind of a, well, let's see what this happens. Let's just grab a group of people and we'll figure out what happens, right? And through crowdsourcing of our own environment, we kind of figured it out. Well, the telemetry dashboard is going to help us with that. It's not a troubleshooting tool. It's only going to tell me this Excel file caused Excel to crash. It's not going to tell me this Excel file called Excel to crash this many times because of this thing, right? But it'll tell me it crashed on this machine, and I can go to that machine and figure out why, right? So I can go solve, and through sorting, I can figure out what are my top offenders, and then what do I need to address those? What are we gathering? ActiveX controls, macros, what build number you have, you know, what's the scope of your office deployment, those type of things. The reason we're getting this is, again, for us to have an intelligent decision-making process of doing the deployment. Because we're to the phase now where we're ready to do the deployment, right? So it's like any project, we have to, you know, gather our intel. This is gathering that intel. Part of our exercise now in the lab, because the lab is next, we'll be actually setting the group policy for the telemetry dashboard. Because the telemetry dashboard can only be managed through a group policy. There's no system center feature to enable the telemetry dashboard for the clients. It's a group policy only attribute. So you can distribute the Office 2003, 2007, 2010 telemetry dashboard agent through system center or any management tool, but group policy is the only way to set it. And begin. Any questions? No. Any questions, concerns? Mike.Matusek, M-A-T-O-U-S-E-K, at unknowncompany.com, no. Microsoft.com.
Okay, you know Dave.
Everyone knows Dave. We're buddies. Who's Dave? That's like the infamous question everyone asks you. You work for Microsoft. Hey, do you know Steve? Well, there's only 120,000 of us. Yeah, I know Steve. No? Score. Oh, I was about to get excited. Yay, finally. Oh, it went down. We're done. Awesome. Okay, well then, we have an awesome long break until the next session. This lab, we were creating GPOs to do the updates. I think it was 9 and 10 and... It's, all right, so 8 and 9? Or is it just 9, creating the 4 GPOs? Because we created GPO to deploy off or update office. We created GPO to roll back office. We create the GPO to do the telemetry dashboard. So I guess it's just 3. Mm-hmm. Right, so if you have no way of putting a GPO on a machine, right, then, yeah. Well, again, it can be any SMB or HTTP path that they can access. Okay, you're back up? Are you being sarcastic this time now?
No.
You already suckered me once. I fell for it, you know. Now I got to be cautious.
So go back to your front end section. So you have updates going to DFS shell, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're all good inside. They're VPNed out, and you, let's see.
Well, that's going to be a charge. That's going to be a problem.
So if they're not on the VPN, will they never get updated over?
If they cannot see the source path, the updates don't occur. So again, how you do your install is important because it helps define how you do your updates. So thank you.